This is the ZMAR Podcast. Elite Benefits of America helps small and mid-sized companies with their health insurance programs. And now, your host, Butch ZMAR.
We're going to revisit what a benefits plan in the workplace really looks like. Some employers out there, and I'm bringing this up because, you know, during the last major push of open enrollments, we had some, even just prospects and clients, seem like we had to remind them, like, where not only where their spot is, but our spot, because we have to create boundaries, because otherwise it goes too far, you know. And then some employers just, they just don't know, or they have a false pretense of, or expectations of what our role is in the workplace as a broker, insurance consultant. I say this often, it is an employer-sponsored plan. It is not a broker-sponsored plan. But what does that really mean? That means you inherit the risk, the cost, the responsibility for supplying health insurance to you, not only you and your family, but also your employees and their families, right? There's a whole set of responsibilities, HR compliance. It's not just throwing a health insurance plan in the workplace and saying, okay, I'm doing my job, right? There's a whole laundry list of stuff. And if you don't believe it now, you should definitely look at some of the requirements. There's disclosures for new hires and open enrollment disclosures. There's required documents that are supposed to be in place. And if they're not, there's penalties, even as much as a certain amount per day or per employee for that matter. It could be that if you don't have certain documentations, you could have audited, but if you ever get audited by the IRS, you could have back taxes and penalties, right? There's all this stuff that comes involved with supplying a employee benefits program, which is responsibility. There's costs, and obviously you're taking a little bit of a risk on it. It's a calculated risk, but it's still some element of risk. It is not certainly a free-for-all, just so you could get access to health insurance, and it's a pass-through for the employees. So some small businesses under 50 employees, they charge 100% of the premium to their employees through their paycheck. And this was granted by the Affordable Care Act. There's a special enrollment period for small businesses under 50 employees that during the month of November and part of December, for a January 1st start date, they can literally have no participation requirements on the health plan, as well as no contribution requirements. So we literally could have 49 employees, one enrolled, and zero contribution by the employer. So that one employee is paying 100% for everything. And so it can happen. And so some people, some employers will look at it as just a pass-through to pacify health insurance and then maybe get access to what they really want. Because on the private insurance basis, when you're buying it privately, you don't have access to everything. There's higher out-of-pocket. Maybe you're more demanding. Maybe demanding is the wrong word for it. Maybe it's just more like a higher need for insurance, or you have the disposable income and say, this is what I want. And that's obviously well within your rights. So we do a group plan, but there's a whole set of things that need to take place. So one example I give is a lot of times the employers feel like it's just to get health insurance and they're solving their own crisis, their own issue, but then they have this baggage, but they don't want anything to do with the baggage. It's like going to the airport and they don't want to touch the baggage that's coming with them. They want somebody else to manhandle the baggage. And the problem is the employers are wrong. They're not only the owner, but they're also the butler. They're the ones taking care of everybody else as well. The broker doesn't own it. They're just the consultant. And we provide some element of assistance throughout the entire year for onboarding and termination. And that varies based on broker or relationship and a whole bunch of other stuff. But if we kind of compare to other working professionals in the workplace and how they conduct themselves, because some people feel like we should be doing everything. Like they're paying this health insurance premium, but it's more or less that they just give up. It's the same thing at claim time with health insurance. They just give up and they think health insurance is expensive and they're still paying all this out of pocket. And I use the reference of when we compare health insurance to the rest of the world on other insurance products, that whether it's your auto and your home or your business insurance, workers' comp, right? It's health insurance is the only one that we demand so much out of, whether it's insurance related or not, but it's the only one we're having real problems with. And so It's a contradiction in so many different ways, and they treat us that way as consultants and brokers in a lot of ways. Some of it's our fault, and we're correcting that, and the industry is correcting it too. But if we compare this to your 401k advisor for the workplace, sure, there's some admin fees sometimes, and a lot of times they come out for open enrollments upon request. And so when you have a annual open enrollment, they'll be there for any questions, answers, whatever it might be. But they don't get involved for your new hires and terminations unless there's special specific cases that arise. And then usually it's an HR or the owner that's calling, or CFO in some cases will call that advisor and say, okay, hey, I got the issue. The employee is not calling on them for sure. But usually throughout the year, there's little engagement because the HR or CFO or owner is handling all the onboarding and termination of all this. Same thing goes with payroll. So you don't call your payroll rep every time you got a new hire or termination to handle something for you. You know, like if you hire somebody and you have to put them into the payroll system, you're not calling your payroll rep to do it. Now, if you're in a jam or there's some situation that comes up, that's what all advisors are usually there, to pick up some slack when you need it, or you're in a tight spot or a mistake occurred. That's fine. But I'm just saying, on a normal basis, that's not usual. So you're doing your onboarding and terminations through payroll. It's your responsibility at the end of the day. Same with the 401k. So your workers' comp policy, when you have a payroll audit, P&C, or property and casualty, or your workers' comp agent, or if you get it through payroll, they're not helping you with this audit form. You're completing it all, and you may ask the payroll for a payroll report based on classifications or whatever, and they may assist there in some of the process. Usually payroll doesn't, but if you're working with an insurance agent, they usually assist in some capacity, but they're not doing any of the work for you. Yeah, they're saying, hey, here's the checklist. This is items we need. Send those over to us, and we'll get them to the insurance company. They're not actually doing any portion of the audit. In most cases, there might be exceptions. Again, outliers, that's why we're professionals. We step in when there's problems. But for the most part, they're not there. You're an accountant, right? So you either do the bookkeeping in-house, or you outsource and actually pay a fee for it. And so you go to your bookkeeper and you may be paying them for bookkeeping, or you bring it in-house and you have to take the time, the energy, the resources, and do it yourself. But just because they do your quarterly tax returns and payroll tax returns and your annual tax returns for federal and the state does not also mean that they're doing your bookkeeping as well, free of charge, right? No additional fee. And so this becomes a normal path for most people. Now, and none of them are doing anything pro bono to get something else. So they're not doing bookkeeping for free to get the tax return. And I know a few cases I've heard where they'll do bookkeeping, and then to win the tax return, they might waive the fee if you're a long-term customer. But those are just customer service situations, and it's not like a written rule or anything. And so you just you pay for both, right? And you expect that you're going to be paying for the services that are there, regardless of how the compensation gets laid out in a contract or letter of intent, or engagement letter rather. And so, but you're paying for it. When it comes to personal financial planning yourself, many planners charge a fee for planning. They do. And some of them, or actually many of the ones I know, they charge an annual planning fee or whenever they need to go through anything more in depth. It may not be every year, but anytime they actually have to pull a new report and see how things are going and then what's the outlook and all that other stuff, there's a fee involved. This is in addition to, in most cases, for a planning management fee. The management fee is the ongoing basis of managing your accounts and maybe ongoing conversations about how retirement's going and what you're doing and contributing. In most cases, you're paying for both. Sometimes I've heard financial advisors charging for like management teams, management fees, but not necessarily planning fees or vice versa. But I'm just saying that there's usually fees on both sides in almost 100% of the cases. And so you're still paying for it. So, but somehow we get to health insurance and employers and their employees, HR, CFOs, think that brokers and consultants should do everything related to benefits because they just don't understand it, right? And And it's simply not the case. It's probably one of the only products in the workplace, except for maybe general liability and workers' comp, but that is not commission-based. Everything's fee-based, right? And so, but even on a commission-based with workers' comp, it's a different model than health insurance, and general liability is a completely different animal altogether. It's just different at that level. If you actually obtain a copy of the contract between the insurance company and the broker, you could more or less see that it outlines that we are the middle party to assist in enrolling or enrollments and terminations, as well as some access to reporting. So again, we assist in that. We do not conduct necessarily an open enrollment. We don't conduct a onboarding or a termination process. We do not technically we're not doing that work, but we could assist with that matter, right? It's the employer's responsibility. And it also doesn't say that we're HR, and we're not human resources. And so a lot of employers think that we could do more, and they keep pushing. And part of it is because they don't understand any of this, so they just say, I don't know, I'm just going to call my broker and find out. And they end up doing the work because they're trying, again, those one-off bases of doing customer service gesture. All right, it'll take us 10 seconds to do it. Just send it our way. Well, the problem that happens in the broker's office is you do that 100 times. Now you're tying up a whole bunch of employees just to do little work that employers are supposed to do. It also doesn't say that the broker is actually an employee of the company. So sometimes we get treated like an employee of the company with ongoing requests about things that HR or CFO should be doing on their side. So the big question is, what are we paid for if we're only assisting, right? And so, but let's go back in time a little bit. Before the Affordable Care Act was there, we were paid better then than we do now. And in fact, the way we were paid and compensated, we felt that value-added services was just the cost of doing business to earn their business and retain their business. And there was margins to do it. But today, premiums went up by 3 times in the last 10 years. But our compensation is cut in half in a lot of cases, especially in the small and mid-sized business market. And when I say half, it's half based on a dollar amount that was paid in 2010. So we are in 2024. It's not reallocated for 2024 dollars. And so, but the employers keep pushing, and it's ongoing too. It's like it's not just isolated to Chicago or Indianapolis or wherever, it's all over the country. But every broker is different in the perceived value what they want to provide to their employers. And same as the employers, they have perceived value of them paying a health insurance premium or a benefit package and what they're getting in return for. So some people have actually said, well, then what are you getting paid for? And we'll get to some of that, but there's obviously different ways to skin a cat, they say, right? So there's different ways of conducting business based on a commission model when it comes to benefits. One model is that the employer is responsible for 100% of everything from onboarding, termination, and open enrollments. The broker or the consultant will consult throughout the year as a retainer because they're getting paid commission, and then they consult at the renewal. You're getting access to resources and products that maybe you don't have access to. Everything else is done by the employer. The open enrollments, the onboarding, the terminations, bill and reconciliation, everything. And that's probably the ideal model, because if the employer is going to be 100% at risk, 100% liable for lawsuits for mishaps, then you might as well. Because even if a broker mishaps or doesn't do what you're supposed to do, most cases, not everything, we have errors and omission insurance too, but in most cases, it falls back to the employer's responsibility. So if you're going to be 100% liable for it in some capacity, and they provide an insurance product in your general liability, read your policy, for mishaps to happen in the benefit world when you're providing benefits to employees, then that's the ideal world. You're paying them to consult and have access to resources and products. It saves you time in the marketplace and keeps you competitive with employees. Another model is the broker commission will help pay for the open enrollment meetings to answer any questions for the employees at the open enrollment meeting, not throughout the year necessarily. Unless situations come up, then they communicate through HR or the owner or whoever is a point of contact. they conduct all ads and terms for the open enrollment. That way, the HR representative doesn't have to process all the paperwork all by themselves. Majority of it's going to fall onto the broker and their team. They're going to assist with billing reconciliation after the open enrollment, usually within the next billing cycle when everything gets updated, just to make sure it's right. We don't do it all, but we sometimes brokers will schedule time with the HR or CFO, and they'll actually go through it after they've reviewed it. We can't do it on the first call. They have to review it first, and then we kind of go through it to make sure that we check it, because some employees won't get removed. It is not our responsibility to verify. We have no idea who works for your company. And here's a prime example. We get a message saying, hey, this person needs to be terminated. And so we do our job. Let's say we're doing the work. We do our job, terminate the employee. The employer goes back in and adds them. And we won't get messages on that. They get added back on because they renegotiate it. The employee decided to stay, whatever it might be. I have no idea if that person ever left. Or the opposite has occurred, where no one notifies us. Nothing, no action is taken. This employee leaves. Nobody knows what's going on. We are not in your business every single day in operations. And then we provide guidance and consulting throughout the year. Some of this stuff may be additional fees depending on how much legwork is. But for the most part, we do the consulting for the renewal. We do all the terms and ads for the open enrollment. But the employer is responsible for any new hires and terminations throughout the year. And then the last model I don't want to touch based on, and some employers think this is what we are, is a jack of all trades, right? We do everything for you, everything, like from start to finish, soup to nuts, right? But what happens in the broker's office or the insurance consultant's office is there's burnout, right? They get too busy, mediocre work occurs, you're always doing second, third follow-ups because there's too much going on in the office. And it's unfortunate because they're trying to do the best they can. It's just they're doing work that they shouldn't be doing. And that happens to the best of us. And we get caught up into it as well. But then some offices will actually charge a fee. If you want us to do everything from start to finish, we just charge a fee for it on top of all the commissions. This is not part of what we normally do. This is the fee we're going to charge. And we've done that with some of our clients, as well as I know many brokers across the country have done that. In some cases, when there's adjustment in commissions, where we have the flexibility of raising or lowering commissions inside of a contract for premiums and for the workplace, that we could adjust the commissions inside there to offset any additional work, but it's got to be signed off by the employer and submitted to the insurance company. But the main thing to note is the employer is responsible to the employees. They do all the communication, or they should be, all the communication with the employees. Do the enrollments, whether it's onboarding, termination throughout the year, the open enrollments. They need to verify the enrollments to make sure that whoever had insurance shows up on the invoice and shows up in the employer portal. They need to reconcile their own invoices for accuracy. Sometimes insurance companies misbill the wrong rate, and so you have to verify that. All these are the employer responsibility, not the broker. But in the current model, for a lot of brokers out there, consultations are a big piece of the commissions that we receive. We consult at the renewal, trying to earn your business. We lay out plans throughout the entire year. We have access to products and services that maybe you most likely don't have access to. So, which employers would have to pay for, though. Those are all extra for products and services outside of this that you normally wouldn't have access to it. So just like any other line, whether it's an accountant, you need software, or technology, you need software, or you need assistance and consulting, those are all extra. Ongoing assistance throughout the year. This is very traditional. So if you hire somebody, we can assist with the onboarding termination, but the employer is still communicating with the employee directly. You could tap into our intellectual knowledge throughout the year. What if this? What if that? Right? What if we change this? What if we change that? That's what we're there for. And for the lay of the land of the future from the world of Butch Zebar, there will probably be more fees, right? Commission is really only going to be for assisting with ads and terminations throughout the year, and maybe a little bit of open enrollment. But again, this is the way it probably should be, because payroll companies are competing with us and they're not charging consultant fees, but they'll take the commissions from a contract and barely assist you with any ads or terms. Plus, they're using software, makes it easier for everybody, but still, they're only assisting with that. That's it. They're not really doing much of anything else. You're going to pay for the consultant and their advice to get access to resources that you normally wouldn't have. And then part of that starts with getting a copy of your own playbook, your benefits playbook. And you can get that at elitebenefits.net/playbook.